We're talking with Richard Witt with Rural and Migrant Ministry, and we wanted to talk to Richard about a decision recently made by the Department of Labor not to shorten the length of time for overtime before farm workers get a little higher pay, but also about the issue of how farm workers have been impacted by the COVID crisis. But Richard, why don't you just give us a brief introduction as to what is Rural and Migrant Ministry?
Rural and Migrant Ministry is a statewide organization. We have four worker education centers in different parts of rural New York. We were born in 1981, so 2021 is our 40th anniversary, and we work with rural workers and their families, especially farm workers, through educational programs, youth programs, and accompaniment programs. And when we use the word accompaniment, that means standing with workers as they seek to improve their working and living conditions. Probably what we're most known for is shepherding the Farm Worker Fair Labor Practices Act in Albany for several decades, which was a bill that would have required farm workers to be treated equally to other workers in New York State. For decades upon decades, farm workers were excluded from such basic rights as a day of rest, disability insurance, protection when bargaining collectively. And finally, in 2019, the bill passed. The governor signed it. But there was one little catch there, which was instead of giving farm workers equality on overtime, in other words, that they would start receiving overtime pay after working 40 hours, the law put in place that they would receive overtime after working 60 hours in a week. They then went on to put in a provision creating a farm worker wage board that would be made up of three people and would gather in the following year to review whether there should be a pathway from 60 hours to 40 hour threshold.
Now the wage board met recently, and it included the head of the Farm Bureau, the head of the AFL-CIO, and the head of the I believe Buffalo Urban League, and they voted not to lower the threshold from 60 hours to 40 hours, but they felt they needed more time to study the issue and the impact upon farm workers, and I guess also the impact of the COVID crisis. You know, what did you think of that decision and some of the, you know, rationale offered for that?
The difficulty for us is the comments of two of the wage board members, the comments offered up by the Farm Bureau, comments echoed in a recent newspaper editorial, talked about now's not the time to make this change. And they specifically talked about the COVID pandemic. The difficulty for us is that's what's always been said. Now's not the time. You know, the economy isn't right. We can't afford this. Prices are down. And what happens is it always is an issue of economics in the minds of these commenters and human rights. And, you know, other businesses, the whole world, without exaggeration, has been struggling through the pandemic, but they didn't take it out by and large on their workers. They didn't say that the workers had to subsidize their well-being. So I have difficulty with that. Now, I understand that perhaps this panel, well, perhaps one of the members of the panel, Ms. McDuffie from the Urban League in Buffalo, might be new to understanding the issues of the plight of farm workers. But I would have hoped that they would have created some sort of pathway. So, I mean, you can say, all right, we're going to study this, but we're going to make the commitment that we're going to lower the threshold from, say, 60 to 55 a year from now. You know, give people time to get settled into it, which is one of the pleas of the Farm Bureau. But they didn't do that. They just rejected the thing outright. And frankly, I'm astonished that a leader, Ms. McDuffie from the Urban League, whose organization has such a long history of standing for civil rights and whose symbol is an equality sign, would not find some pathway toward equality.
And of course, the exclusion of, you know, farm workers from particularly a lot of the federal organizing rights is directly a vestige of, you know, Jim Crow laws. And you would expect that the Urban League would, you know, sort of get that. And I also will note that at the same time, not that this board or another board had direct control of it, but there had been push, you know, there is a phase in, particularly upstate, to increase in the minimum wage for other workers. And, you know, the business community did fight to halt that, but that did not occur. But how have farm workers in general fared, you know, during this COVID crisis?
I think we owe a great deal of thanksgiving to our brothers and sisters who are laboring in the fields, on the dairy farms, in the orchards, in the food processing plants, who have worked so hard to feed all of us during this pandemic and whom we can easily take for granted. And it has been a very difficult time for them. They've been required to go to work. We just heard or worked actually with a gentleman the other day who was being forced to go to work, even though he had tested positive for the virus. His boss said, you know, he needed to be at work when it was pointed out that he did not need to be at work. That was not safe for him to be at work. There was a long battle, and finally the Department of Labor, the New York State Department of Labor, had to step in. And shortly thereafter, the man was taken to the hospital, where not only was he battling COVID, he now had pneumonia. So the workers are very vulnerable. They want to work, but they also want to be safe, which has then led to a huge mental stress on the workers and their families about wondering if they were going to get the virus. And then on top of all that, a good number of the workers were not eligible for stimulus funds, were fearful about being evicted, were struggling with trying to figure out how were they going to survive financially? How are they going to get food on their tables? It's been a really challenging year for brothers and sisters who are unseen and yet whom we are in relationship with on a daily basis as we eat the food they get to us.
So Richard, we're out of time. I know you'd wanted to get to that. You did have one little victory in the EPA's continuing the 100-foot rule, keeping away, you know, pesticide spraying from workers. If people want more information about Rural and Migrant Ministry, how can they do that?
www.ruralmigrantministry.org. That's all one word. You can look us up, and that will give you our contact info.
Thank you very much, Richard Witt, and this has been Mark Dunley for the Hudson Mohawk Radio Network.